Whoa, hey. You know, I really felt special my first Sunday here because I got a standing ovation as well. If you keep it up, it's going to become less special, maybe. No, I don't know. No, just kidding. All right. Well, yeah, thank you for that lead-in. Bernine and I are celebrating our fourth week here at, I almost said my old church's name. We're celebrating our fourth week here at Northgate. And man, what an awesome church. This has been incredible. And what an amazing place to come and pastor in. I mean, like, we've gotten out to see a bit of the valley now. In the last week, we've been to Comox Lake on family day there. And then we went to Goose Spit. And then yesterday, we have some friends in town from our old city, Airdrie. And we went with them yesterday to Tofino. Yeah. And, you know, I planned on just going and having a taco from Taco Fino and then maybe having a coffee. And then my friend actually dragged me out into the waves and we went surfing for the afternoon. So, man, it was one of the best days I've had here. It's incredible. This place is amazing. So if you don't know Bernine and I's story a little bit, we come from Alberta, and we lived there pretty much our whole lives. But the last year before we came here to Northgate, we were spending the year doing some traveling. And a lot of people are like, oh, must be nice. But it wasn't all fun and games. It wasn't all vacations and beaches and sand and sun. We spent a lot of time working, doing missions work and volunteer work. I was teaching English for a while. But of course, I mean, we were in Europe and Southeast Asia and Australia. I mean, we had to take some vacation in there too to take in the sights, right? So we come back from this year and you talk to people and you have all these experiences and photos and people always ask you, like, so what's your favorite memory? And I'm like, well, like, I mean, you want me to just whittle it down to just one memory? Like, that's so hard after a whole year. But one memory that I love to share with people, because it's kind of a funny story, is when we were in, we were staying in Indonesia doing some vacationing. And we were staying on this island in this beautiful, like, beach bungalow. And it was really cool because it had this outdoor bathroom. So the whole thing was outside. Like, they had this beautiful rock kind of shower and then a toilet and the sink, everything outside. It was really, really cool. So one day, we were just kind of touring around the island a bit, and then we had to rush back to our bungalow because Bernine had to go to the bathroom. And we got back to the bungalow. Bernine rushes out into the bathroom. I'm just kind of waiting inside, and I hear this shrill shriek. And I'm just like, I'm not going out there. What's going on here? And she's like, Alan, you need to come out here. I'm like, okay. So I walk outside, and there, lying right next to the toilet, was this monstrosity of a grasshopper. Like, no joke. Some of you think, oh, cute. No, this was the biggest grasshopper I have ever seen easily. At least the size of my finger, just the body of the thing. And I have pretty big fingers. And so this grasshopper sitting there, and Bernine's like, Alan, you got to do something. I really have to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, I mean, it's not like I'm about to just grab the thing. Like, you can see its jaws, and it's just like, whoa. So, you know, I walk over to the sink to my toiletry bag, and I'm like, start throwing things out of the thing, trying to get it to move, trying to scare it. And I didn't have the best aim, and so the thing just stayed there. So finally, I grab my big tube of toothpaste. I mean, it's like nuking the thing, right? So I grab the tube of toothpaste, I line it up, underhand, lands right beside the grasshopper and startles it. Which would be great if the thing didn't fly, right? So that thing starts getting its wings going, and it's like, you can almost feel the wind coming off the thing, and you're just like, oh no, take cover! So I just like dive inside the bungalow, Bernine somewhere else in the bathroom, and I slam the door behind me, forgetting that she's still stuck outside. And she's like, It's like she like plasters herself to the glass, like, let me in, you know, like on the movies where that happens. And so I let her in, and then we're just like sitting there because the thing took off, but then it just landed on the wall right beside the toilet. So we're like, and Bernine still, I really have to go to the bathroom. And I was like, oh no. So what do I do? I'm looking around the room. What do I have that I can like throw at it, or what can I do? I find my belt. I'm like, okay, I can just swing my belt and hopefully just like scoop it off the wall. Okay, so I'm using the door as protection, and I'm like leaning out. And there's actually a video on my phone that I have of this, if you ever feel like watching it. It might not be funny to you, but we just chuckle every time we watch it. But I'm trying to throw this belt and kind of hit it, the grasshopper, with the buckle of it and move it. And to no avail. The thing was fearless. It's like sitting on the wall, just like, bring it. So finally, there was a local who was walking by our bungalow, and he was working there, and so we called him over, and kind of like, you know, the classic like tourist, like, excuse me, we have a bug in our room, could you please take care of it, you know? And so the guy comes in, takes one look, walks over, grabs it, and then walks away. And as he's walking past me, he's like, very tasty. And I'm just like, fill in your boots, man. Like, come on. It's, you know, your finder's fee, I guess, whatever. So that was one of our fun memories from Indonesia. It wasn't as fun for Bernine, but this year that we spent away was just an incredible time. Since Bernine and I had been married 4.5 years ago, we had kind of been dreaming and talking about doing something like this. You know, we love to travel, and we said, like, man, it would be amazing if we could just take a year off of life and just go and forget about things back home and just go and see all these things. Because we just had this traveler's itch. Maybe some of you guys know what that's about, but we just felt like, you know, if we can just go away, do a whole year of traveling, see all these amazing things that we've been wanting to see forever, then maybe we can just come home and we can just kind of do the normal thing. You know, we can settle down, we can have some kids, start a family, and do all that stuff, and we'll be good. But the thing with traveling is that when you travel, you meet other travelers. And you get talking with these other people, and you start hearing their stories about places that they've been and some of the things that they've seen. And maybe some of those places you've never even heard of, you know, or some of those things or landmarks that they've seen are things that you've never even heard of. And so you're just like, that sounds amazing. Now I got to go see that. And what we thought was going to be us, you know, kind of scratching off all these items on our bucket list ended up becoming our bucket list getting even bigger with all this stuff that now we got to go see. So, you know, I don't think we're done traveling. I don't think we're going to take a year off anytime soon. Don't worry. But it's just like, man, we thought we were done. We were going to be done and satisfied. But now it's like, now we got all these other places we need to go see, you know. And we're kind of like that as human beings, I find. Maybe you hate traveling, so that story, that whole concept doesn't really resound with you very well. But we have this tendency as humans to pursue after things and chase after these things in life. And just we think if we can just get to this one point, or if we can just attain to this one level in life, then we'll be happy, we'll be satisfied. We can kind of just chill out and coast for a bit. You know, maybe for you it's not traveling. Maybe for you maybe you've been chasing a job promotion at work, thinking that if you can just reach that next level, if you can just get to that management position, or if you could just open your own company or be your own boss, then you'd kind of be able to just be satisfied with where you're at in life. Maybe you could retire happy like that. Or maybe you're happy where you are. Maybe it's just, man, I just need a little bit more money. I just need to make more money to be happier with my life, to be able to do some of the things that I really want to do, to make my family happy, to be able to live comfortably. And maybe that's you. Maybe for some of you guys here, Valentine's Day is not a very pleasant time, because it's a reminder that, oh, I still haven't found that special someone. You know, I've been in student ministry for a while, and we had some people, some student leaders that thought it was kind of funny. They called Valentine's Day Singles Awareness Day because they'd be like, "Oh, and maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're searching for that person, and you're like, if I can just find that special someone the yin to my yang, the whatever to my whatever, you know, maybe then I will just be happy. Then finally, you know, I will have arrived. My life will be so much better. Maybe you're in high school or in elementary school and none of this makes any sense to you and you're like, I have no idea what he's talking about. Maybe for you, students, it's maybe if I could just get like that new pair of jeans. Maybe I could just get that new pair of shoes or the latest, whatever the latest fashion trends are. I'm getting a little out of touch as I get older, but you know, I know what that's like where you're just saying, if I can just get those cool clothes or whatever, I can finally fit in to the cool crowd. Maybe finally I'll be accepted by the cool kids at school. Ah, that would be amazing. Or maybe you're coming up to graduation and you're just like, man, I just need to graduate. I just need to be finished school, and then I can graduate. I can just chill out, and maybe I can get off this island and go make something of myself. We put so much stock in all these things, and we put so much effort into chasing all of these things in life. And Jesus, there's a story in the Bible that I want to share with you about Jesus kind of addressing this in us. And so if you have your Bible with you, I'd love for you to join me. It's in the book of John, and we're going to go to chapter 4. And so why don't you open that with me? John chapter 4, and it's verse 1 is where we're going to start. It says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way, and eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Now the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." Now let's just pause there for a moment, because there's an interesting dynamic that you need to catch what's really going on here in this story. It says how Jesus was obviously a Jew, and this woman was a Samaritan woman. If you don't know the history behind the Jewish people and the Samaritan people, it stems back hundreds of years. There's this hostility going on between these two people groups for generations and generations. It all started back in the day when the Samaritans were people who, they started to intermarry with some of the other pagan cultures surrounding them. And as that happens, sometimes you make compromises. And so they began to compromise a little bit on some of their beliefs, values, and traditions, and they started to kind of throw away some of the Jewish traditions and some of the things that they had grown up with. As a result, the Jewish people got kind of ticked. They're kind of like, "You guys aren't even legit anymore, you know?" Like, they actually would call them quite rude names, like something that I probably shouldn't even say from here, because I can't say it in Jewish, and if I could say it in Jewish, it would actually be really rude. So, I'm not going to say it. Okay? But there's this hostility that has been brewing for generations and generations. If you were a Samaritan, you were raised to not have anything to do with Jewish people. If you were Jewish, you were raised to hate the Samaritan people. And so Jesus shows up in this Samaritan village, and he sits down beside this well, and this Samaritan woman comes along. And the fact that Jesus even spoke to her is such a shock to her, because she understands this dynamic going on. And I think there's a powerful picture there that we can learn from. Because this tension between the Jews and the Samaritans, I believe, kind of parallels this tension that we sometimes feel towards God. In our lives, there's sometimes where we don't want to have anything to do with God. We know God's there. We know that He's real. But maybe there's been hurt, or maybe something happened at church, or maybe you feel like God let you down, and there's this hostility towards God. Or maybe you're here this morning and you wouldn't say you're a Christian. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you just started coming to church and you're checking things out. But you see the news and you see some of the things that Christian people are known for, which are not very good sometimes. And so you think, like, who is this God? Like, who are these people? And there's this hostility sometimes that we find in our own lives between us and God. Romans 8 talks about the sinful nature that we all are kind of born into. And it talks about how the sinful nature the words it uses is hostile towards God. And I think it's so cool, because also in Romans it says, while we were still sinners, while there was still all this hostility and animosity between our sinful nature and God, between mankind and God, Christ died for us. Just like in this story where there's this hostility that we see between Jewish and Samaritan people, Christ breaks right through that tradition, and He makes the first move towards this woman. And in the same way this morning, God has already made the first move between you and I. He's already reached out to us. Even in spite of maybe if there's some hostility or something going on between you and God, He's already reached out this morning. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's a beautiful thing. So let's go back to the story. So we see this dynamic play out a bit. And in verse 11, the Samaritan woman says, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this well is pretty deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will become thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." It's beautiful. Jesus said, anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Now, if you haven't picked up on it, Jesus isn't exactly talking about just water here in this verse. What He's saying is that, just like I just said, the things that we chase after in this world, the pursuits that we find ourselves just spending our lives on, will leave you thirsty. These things that we thirst and hunger after will leave us thirsty. Maybe some of those things I said earlier are striking a chord with you, and you're in that place where maybe you are hunting for that job promotion at work. You're like, man, I've worked hard, and I'm going to continue working hard, and I think I deserve that promotion. I'm gunning for that position. Can I tell you, if you are relying on that position to bring you some sort of satisfaction or fulfillment in life, it's only going to be temporary, because pretty soon you're going to discover that, yeah, you might get that promotion, but what comes with that promotion? There's more responsibility. There's more people that you got to be worried about. You know, you have to deal with everyone's stuff. And then on top of all that, you may have to put in extra hours at work, which is going to take away from family time. It's not always cracked up to be. Maybe you're pursuing more money. Maybe it's just like, I don't have enough money. I need more money. And there's this survey that was done in 2009 that I read about in the States. And it talked about the correlation between those who made more money, making more money, and the happiness that comes along with that. And the interesting thing is that people who said they, you know, they had, you know, X amount of dollars, and then they, you know, made their way up to a certain bigger salary, yeah, there was a sense of accomplishment that came with that. But it really didn't affect their day-to-day fulfillment or their satisfaction or contentment. So they had reached this spot in life, but then they're still the same miserable human beings, right? So yeah, you can chase dollar signs, but can I tell you that money will be your boss if that's your attitude? There will never be enough. You will never be satisfied. You will never be content with where you are at if that is your attitude. If you're chasing after a bigger house, you know, you're just like, man, I wish my kids didn't have to share a room. I wish that I had that dream kitchen. You know, Home and Garden TV doesn't help us on this one at all, right? You see, like, House Hunters, and you're just like, oh, that house is amazing, right? And we get these dreams about what we want in a house, and we begin to hate our house, and we just want this bigger house where we could entertain and do all these extra things. The things they don't tell you about are, you know, your bills are going to go up, right? There's all these extra things that come with that. Who's going to clean that big house? Right? It's not going to be long before there's a dissatisfaction that comes with that. Ladies and gentlemen who are hunting for spouses this morning, can I tell you that my first year of marriage was one of the worst years of my life? And this, I'm just being real. Can I promise you that marriage is not always easy? And all the married people are like, amen, amen. The drive here wasn't easy, right? Marriage is one of the most difficult things you will ever do. You're constantly giving of yourself to the other person. And if you're looking for that to bring you some sort of satisfaction or whatever in life, it's probably a good idea to ride out the single boat for a little longer until you figure things out. If you're a student this morning, and you're chasing all these things that we chase when we're younger, you know, if you're chasing the latest fashion trends, I've got news for you. Fashion is always changing. So you might be like, oh, I finally caught up. I finally got a pair of skinny jeans or whatever. The trends are already moving. You know, I got this nice pair of boots my wife got me for Christmas. I've been wanting a nice pair of boots for a few years now, and finally get a pair, and I come here to the island, and all these cool, hip people are wearing a totally different boot than I got. The trend's already moved on without me. And here I am, dissatisfied again. If you're just waiting for graduation, if you're that young person that's like, oh man, once I finish school, I just can't wait. Can I promise you this? It's not always greener on the other side, students. When you graduate, you have to get a job. You have to be a contributing member of society. It's not always fun. And for those who are just fed up with living on the island, I have no idea what is going on in your brain, because I've done a bit of traveling in my life now. And I can tell you that this is one of the most beautiful places on the planet, right? I mean, where else can you surf and snowboard in the same day, right? Like, This is an incredible place to live, and God is stirring up something in this church and in this valley that you do not want to miss out on. If you're thinking, I just want to get out of this church, I just want to get out of this valley, and you got like that Jonah spirit where you're running from God, let me tell you, you need to stop running and just enjoy what God is doing here. There's something good going on, and I'm pumped that we're here to be a part of it. And I want you to hear my heart on this. I've listed all these things and kind of hit on all these points this morning, and I don't want you to think that those things are terrible in and of themselves. I mean, I think it's great. If you want that bigger house, you want to entertain and be hospitable, I think that's great. You know, if God blesses you with more finances, that's just, you can greater impact the kingdom. You can give to missions. You can give to this or that. Yeah, these things are not terrible. But if you're relying on these things, if your attitude towards these things is such that you think there's going to be some sort of satisfaction that comes once you've reached them or you've attained them, you're going to be sorely mistaken. The things of this world, chasing the things of this world, will always leave you high and dry. But if you chase God, you'll be satisfied. And can I just say that again? Chasing the things of this world will leave you high and dry. But if you chase God, if you pursue God with everything that you've got, if you pour that same amount of energy that you do into work, you know, some of us work real hard to get to where we are in our jobs. If you poured that same amount of effort and just threw your life on God and the purpose that He has for you, man, that will leave you satisfied. Yeah. I'm going to invite the band to come on back up. And I just want us to dream for a second here, Northgate. What would happen? What would happen if we began to get hungry and thirsty for the things of God? Amen. Like I said, what would happen if we held that same kind of work ethic or that same attitude towards these things that we just go after? If we took that same approach to our relationship with God and to the things that this church is doing, I think it would be amazing. If you look at the rest of the story of this Samaritan woman, it's so cool. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just paraphrase what happens. She spends this time a little longer with Jesus and has this incredible encounter with Jesus. And she leaves there feeling pumped, because she goes back to her village and she's just like telling all her friends. She's like, guys, you got to come see this guy. I just had this crazy experience with him and he's amazing. And she grabs all her friends and she brings, like, I don't know how many, like half the village with her, and they all come and meet and experience who Jesus is. What would happen if we got excited about God, if we chased God and had this experience and encounter with God for ourselves that we can bring to those around us, to those that we encounter, our friends, our family, and we can bring them to church and they can experience God here? But you know what? You don't even need to bring them to church. Sometimes we think that, you know, we just need to get our friends and our family to church and then the pastor will do the rest. You know, God has equipped each of us to do the work that He's called the church to do. What's to stop you from offering that experience or encounter with Jesus to the world, to the Comox Valley? I dream of hearing stories of people walking through Thrifty Foods, and you've been hungry after God and you've been thirsty after the things that God has for you. And you've experienced so much. And as a result, there's just this air that comes off you that people are like, what is wrong with this person? And you're checking out at the till in Thrifty Foods. And the clerk asks you, how are you doing? And you're like, I thought you wouldn't ask. I'm having one of the best days of my life. And they're like, a simple fine, would have been good there. But you take that opportunity and you tell them about what God has done in your life, and you tell them about what's going on here at Northgate and in the valley, and how incredible this Jesus is, and you offer them that experience right then and there, holding up the line behind you. Why not? Or you bring them here and they encounter Jesus for the first time. Because when you chase after God, when you get thirsty for the things of God, there's a satisfaction. And you know what? The Bible says, in His presence is fullness of joy. So there's also a joy that comes with that. The way you tackle the things in this life, there's a different attitude towards them. What would happen if we had that and we could offer it to this Comox Valley? I think it'd be pretty amazing, don't you? So with every, if you guys can just bow your heads and close your eyes with me, I want to just address a couple people in the room today. And maybe you're here this morning and I've kind of touched on a nerve with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like that Samaritan woman where there's been this hostility or this aggression towards God. Maybe you did get hurt in the church. Maybe someone from the church hurt you. Maybe you feel like God let you down and you've been angry at God. Can I just encourage you? Even though you've given up on God, He hasn't given up on you. Even though you're angry at God, He's still made that first move. He's still here this morning, reaching out with open arms. And if maybe you're here for the first time, maybe there was someone in this church that got hungry and thirsty for Jesus, and they invited you here this morning, and they were like, you got to come see what's going on. And if it's your first time here, we welcome you. We hope that you have encountered the Spirit of God this morning. But I want to offer an opportunity. I just want to pray with you this morning if you fit into either of those categories. So if that's you, I just invite you to raise your hand so I can just see you, so I can just make that connection, and I want to pray for you this morning. If you want to meet God for the first time, or you just want to make things right in your heart with God, just say, God, I'm done being angry. I want to come back. If that's you this morning, just put up your hand so I can see, so I can pray with you. Excellent. Thank you. Awesome. Well, thank you, Lord. God, I thank you so much that this morning, before we even got up, before our kids even woke us up, you were waiting for us to walk into this building so that you could be with your people. I thank you that you look forward to moments like this where we just come, our hearts laid bare before you, and offer ourselves back to you. God, I thank you that while we were caught in our sin, while there was this anger towards you, while we did nothing to earn it, you came down and you reached out to us first. We love you today because you loved us first. And Father, we're grateful for what you're doing here in the valley. We're grateful for what you're doing here in this church. God, you have always been faithful. You are the one constant, the one reliable thing that we can come to. And so Father, we just come to you today. If it's our first time, if it's our 500th time, and we just give ourselves to you. We want to walk in step with you, Jesus. When we leave from this place, we know that it's not the end. We know that we've just gotten a taste of what you're like, and we're hungry and thirsty for more. And we want to go from this place this week, and we want to chase you. We want to pursue you and get hungry after you this week, God. Because we know that the things of this world, everything else we could ever waste our time pursuing, would just leave us unsatisfied. So Jesus, come, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill each of us, that you would fill our lives, and that you would equip us and empower us for whatever it is that you have for us this week as we go. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.